Today we continue our study on they were first called Christians. Acts chapter 11, and that's not where we're going to be. We're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 4 here in just a moment. But Acts chapter 11, I think it's verse 26, says they were first called Christians in Antioch. The last couple of weeks, and this is the end of this three-week sermon series, we've talked about what it's been that has caused that would cause people in that day to have labeled believers as Christians. We started with that profession of faith. Listen, if you've never called upon Jesus as the Lord and Savior of your life, you're not a Christian, okay? You start that walk by calling out upon Jesus. You continue that walk by following the Lord in scriptural baptism. We talked about that. And becoming a part of the Lord's New Testament church, you need that church family if you're going to serve continually and faithfully. You need the support of a church family. Now today, we're going to talk about being called a Christian as we stand up for Jesus. Would you stand with me as we read from God's Word? 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 says, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. On their part He's blasphemed, but on your part He's glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will it be, or what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God?" Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day that you've made. Thank you, Lord, for giving us this time of worship from your word, that, Lord, you would convict us of sin, that you would encourage us in those areas we need to press forward, that, Lord, you would just minister in your wisdom so that every person here may know that they have been in your presence here today. Lord, we love you, we praise you, and we thank you for the wonderful Savior that you are. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. All right, as I was preparing this message and just kind of giving you a heads up, you need to come this morning and tonight, okay? Because as I was preparing this message, I prepared the whole thing. You see the outline in the bulletin. And then Friday, I got to looking, and the Lord just laid upon my heart, number one, it was too long to preach at one setting. And number two, that we just needed to stop this morning after the first point. And so this morning, we're going to preach point number one in the outline. And then tonight, we're going to finish with the final 2 points. So, and the message of Hebrews will be moved back a week. And so we start with stand up for Jesus. Do you do that? We sing, stand up for Jesus. You soldiers of the cross, lift high His royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, His army shall He lead, till every foe is vanquished and Christ is Lord indeed. That sounds good, doesn't it? Stand up for Jesus. The trumpet call obey. Forth to the mighty conflict in this glorious day. Ye that are men now serve Him against unnumbered foes. Let courage rise with danger and strength to strength oppose. Have you ever listened to the words of that song? I mean, it's a deep song. And it really makes you think as you sing it, if you listen to the words. Stand up for Jesus. stand in His strength alone, the arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor, each piece put on with prayer, where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there. Stand up. Do you? Do we stand up for Jesus? Do we live and conduct ourselves in a manner where people can look at us and say, that is a Christian. That is a child of God. And I'm not suggesting that we're perfect. But I want to tell you what, the world needs to know where we do stand. Okay? That we stand upon the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that is what this morning's message is going to be. It's very simply a challenge to stand. A challenge to stand. The text that we read in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, it said, "Think it not strange concerning the fiery trials that is to try you." First thing I want you to get. Are you ready? Say amen if you're ready. You will be tested. Okay? You will be tested. And when that test comes, Peter's giving you a heads up. Don't think it strange. That word strange means to bewilder or catch off guard or, you know, not being ready for it. Okay? We are of the mentality that if we do right, life is supposed to fall in place and all things are supposed to be good. A lot of times we have that mentality, don't we? And I've heard innumerable times as people face challenges in this life, I've heard them say, "Well, I don't understand why this is happening to me. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I go to church. I study my Bible. I pray. I'm a good person. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. Why is God letting this happen to me?" I've got the answer. It's called a test. Okay? And just because you do what you're supposed to do, that doesn't mean that God says you the hands off to the devil. As a matter of fact, the more committed you are, the more dedicated you are to being that Christian who takes a stand for Jesus Christ, you better wake up, because you're going to wake Satan up. And he's coming. And his goal, his desire, is that you fail. And be destroyed, your testimony destroyed. So today I want you to first recognize that there are coming tests. It's a war between good and evil, and Peter knew that war. He knew that war very well. As a matter of fact, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, he wrote to us, warning us. He said, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." Peter was a man who knew what it was like to be devoured by Satan. He was a man who had first-hand knowledge. He knew what it felt like. He knew what it looked like. He knew. And so he's warning us. As a matter of fact, Jesus was speaking to Peter one day and he was talking about, he's talking to his apostles and he was speaking about his death and crucifixion. And Peter said, "Oh no, I'll never allow that to happen to you, Jesus, no." And Jesus looked at Peter and this is what he said. He said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." Just imagine, the Son of God, Jesus, looks at Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan." This is why I say today, here's a man in Peter who knew firsthand what it was like to face the attack of Satan, the test of Satan. And Peter is warning you. And I today, be ready. Be ready because it's coming. It may come as a personal thing in your life. It may come on a church level. It may come on a Sunday school class level. But you can bet if you are going to be that Christian, it's coming. The fiery trials, they're coming. That word fiery, you know, you get the idea there. It's dealing with severity, a burning, painful, difficult, harsh trial. And I want you to notice the word trial. That word trial is it's a test, but it's singular. How many times have you heard people say, you know, they're going through sickness and, oh, this is a trial? That's not what Peter's talking about. Okay? That's not what this is about. Or going through a little difficulty in life and, oh, it's a burden I must bear. That's not what we're talking about here. Peter is talking about a fiery trial, a particular type of trial. And this trial is the trial that you will face because of your relationship with Jesus Christ. Okay? It's that trial where you have to decide if you will stand up for Jesus and face the consequences or cave in like a spineless no one. That's the trial that we're talking about here. And you can't help but think of Peter, why he's writing this. He's writing this because he knew. You see, Jesus had told Peter before he was arrested. He told Peter, "Peter, you're going to deny me three times this very night." And you remember what Peter said? Peter said, "Oh no, not me. I'll never deny you. The rest of these guys may deny you, but I will die for you, Jesus. I'll not deny you." And Jesus said, "Peter, before the rooster crows, you'll deny me three times." Peter, "No, no, not me." And you know how that story goes. Mark 14. Jesus had been arrested. And Peter's following afar off. He's gathered with the crowd, warming by the fire. And one of the crowd looked at Peter and said, You, Peter, you are with those guys. You're part of that group with this Jesus of Nazareth." And you know what Peter said? Peter said, and I quote, "I neither know nor understand what you're saying." Peter said, "What are you talking about? Not me." Now, this is the guy who said, "I will go to death. I will die for you, Jesus." And now, at the first accusation, Peter saying, "No, I don't know what you... What are you talking about?" Then he was approached a second time. The same thing. This guy's one of them. Peter said, "No, not me." And the third time. And you've got to, you know, just put this in your mind. Imagine where Peter was. That third time, a servant girl comes and points at Peter and said, "You're one of them. Your speech gives you away. You were with Jesus of Nazareth." And Peter began to curse and to swear and said, "I do not know that man." And when Peter did that, his eyes and Jesus' eyes met. And Peter wilted like a flower on a hot summer day. The Bible said he went and wept, poured his heart. It just broke his heart. Because he came to that point. He had all the warnings. Jesus told him, "Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." And he knew it was coming. He even told him, "You'll deny me." And Peter folded under the pressure. Now I want to ask you, how many times have you dismissed the opportunity to speak up? When you were in that setting and things were going on and you knew those things were wrong, and you, being the Christian that you say you are, had the opportunity to stand up and say, "This is not right." And I don't care if you're in the sixth grade or if you're in the 60-year-old club. We've all been there. when we had that opportunity to take a stand and we just blended in with the crowd. How many times has that happened to you? How many times has it happened that God put it on your heart to tell somebody about Jesus Christ? You knowing that man or that lady or that child needs to hear the gospel message. You knowing your responsibility as a child of God. And you look and say, I'll do it later. You know what you did? You denied Christ. You folded. You blew it. What about you, teenager? Why are you following the wild side? Listen, this preacher may be old, but he's not dumb. I know how peer pressure goes, and I know what, you know, we all want to be accepted, and you have to hang out with, you know, you really want to be accepted by this particular group. How many things have you compromised because you wanted to be accepted by a group? Oh, my friends, like I say, you can be in the sixth grade or you can be the senior adult. My question is, are you standing? Are you willing to take that stand even though it might cost you? And it usually does. You understand? You can back up and say, well, I took my stand. Everything's supposed to go right. Jesus took His stand and He went to Calvary. Okay? It may cost you. But you see, that's okay. Because the idea is, the point of it all, it's a test. You understand a test, right? The fiery trial, that word trial is of course a test. And you have to understand what it is you're going through. What it is that... Fire is a purifier. You know? And what happens in fire is the dross or the impurities come to the top. When you melt the metal like gold and silver, there will be this layer on top of that comes to the top. It's just dross, impurities. You know what the idea behind a fiery trial is? The idea is you go through that fire and those impurities come to the top and you and the chaff or the impurities are revealed to you. And you know, oh, I've got to get this out of my life. I've got to get these things out of my life. Because see, this test that we're talking about, this fiery trial, it's going to reveal, are you genuine? Do you really mean what you say? Do you really trust God so that you'll follow Jesus no matter where Jesus leads? Are you solid in the truth, not willing to bend or bow because of the pressure of society or the pressure of friends or the pressure of family or the pressure of anyone? The Lord said to Simon, Luke 22:31, He said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. Now, I want you to understand this thoroughly, okay? The idea there, Satan has asked for you, and the King James says desired, but the meaning of the word is to ask or to seek out. And Satan had asked for Peter. And the construction of that is such that the request has been granted. Okay? And you can't get that in the English. And I don't know how you'd say it in the English, you know, as far as translating it literally. But that's the idea of that verse. And the idea of the verse is that Satan has gone to God and said, God, I want to test Him. And that he's been granted that. And God says, okay. I said, Brother Doug, really? It happened to Job, did it not? One day Satan come before God and God said, have you considered my servant Job? And Satan said, yeah, I've considered him. You've blessed him and you've hedged about him and you've taken care of him so I can't get to him. That's why he's so faithful to you. And God said, okay, I'll show you. Same thing happened to Peter. When it says Satan has desired, or Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. Now, once again, I want you to get the idea of sifting. The idea of sifting is you've got the wheat and the chaff and a big screen, and you shake that screen. You realize we need to be shook every once in a while. You shake that screen, and the wheat falls out the bottom of that screen, and the chaff and the impurities are caught and remain on that screen. And you know what they do with those impurities, or the chaff, the weeds and the grass and the stuff? You know what they do with that? They throw it away. They throw it out because it's useless. It's detrimental to the health of the wheat. It's not good. Jesus told Peter, "Peter, Satan's been granted to sift you. Here's what you..." And when it happens, He said, "After you return to Me, strengthen the brethren." Jesus knew everything that Peter was going to deny. He knew how things were going to go. And that's why He told him, "Strengthen the brethren, Peter, when you return to Me." And what I want you to realize is when you're going through that shaking and that sifting and those impurities come to the top, you know, I used to think it was all about passing the test, but and we want to do what's right. We want to pass the test. But you know really what we must do? We must get rid or throw out the impurities. We must cast aside those things that are hampering our growth as a child of God. We must cast aside those things that are getting in our way from taking the stand of Jesus. You know, as Peter considered where he was here, you know, he thought he was such a strong guy and he would follow Jesus to the death. And like I say, he folded. Lack of faith, lack of trust, lack of courage. You see all these impurities coming to the top. You know what happens? Do you know why we fail the test? We don't fail the test because of our actions. Our actions simply reflect a much deeper problem. Okay? What am I saying? Do you realize the problem that's hurting marriages today is not the problem of adultery? It's not. It's the heart that commits adultery. There's a heart problem. Do you realize there's the problem with the ails of society, the ills of society? It's not that it's not the dishonesty, it's not the greed, it's not the, you know, anything like that, the immorality. It's a heart problem. You see, we'll never get rid. We'll never reform our culture. We'll never reform our teens, our children, until we change their heart. Okay? And only God can change that heart. What I'm talking about, Luke chapter 6, verse 45, explains it very well. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good. That makes sense, doesn't it? If you plant corn, corn grows. Why? Because you planted corn. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. How many of you have ever gotten in trouble by what you say? Some of us need to raise two hands. Why? Some of us have bigger mouths than others, and we all know that. But you know what the problem is? The problem is not that you've got a big mouth. The problem is that your mouth is just very simply reflecting what's inside. Grab that. If you're hateful, it's reflecting what's inside. If you're evil, if you're immoral, it's reflecting what's inside. The point being this. When we go through the fiery trials and we're sifted, we may pass, and I pray we pass. Okay? Because if we don't pass, guess what? We get to take the course again. God, He does. He does. There are remedial Christians. Okay? Little extra. There is no extra credit and there is no grade on the curve. All right? Sometimes we pass and sometimes we fail. But here's the thing. Every time we go through that fiery trial and the dross or the chaff comes to the top, you better get rid of it. Because if not, you'll find yourself going through the same test next week, next month, and next year. Okay? You gotta deal with it. That's the idea behind a fiery trial. Is getting that heart changed. Now right here we stop. You see now why this became a two-part message, right? But I think this became a two-part message, more importantly, because there are some people that need to deal with the chaff. Did you hear me? There are some people that need to deal with the chaff. Tonight we're going to talk about the blessings and all that of being tested. But listen, before we can get to that part, we got to deal with this part. The heart. And dealing with the chaff. Where are you as a child of God? Do you stand or do you not? If not, why not? Where are you when you go through the fiery trials and those, you know, those characteristics that you know are not part of a Christian, what should be a part of a Christian's life? They come to the surface. What do? Most people bury them. Most people bury them, hide them. Listen, you'll never get anywhere like that. What do you do in the fiery trials? You stand up for Jesus. The way you stand up is you take care of the chaff. You take care of the chaff, and then the standing will take care of itself. You know it? It will. You take care of the heart problem, the standing will take care of itself. Where are you? Question number two. Are you a child of God? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? You know, there's one thing I know as a pastor. Jesus works. Okay? Being a Christian is not about thou shalt not do this and thou shalt not do that. And Jesus is trying to take away everything that's fun in our life. No, that's not what being a Christian is about. Jesus is saying, I want the best for you, my child. If you're here today, Jesus wants the best for you. And that best begins with salvation. Are you a child of God? If not, the Bible tells us whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. You come to that point in life where you call out to Jesus asking Him to save you. Have you done that? Number two, have you followed the Lord in scriptural baptism? Scriptural baptism is your public stand, your public identification with Christ. Number three, have you attached yourself to the Lord's church? Like I said last week when we talked about that, I'm not trying to talk anybody into anything except following the Lord. Okay? If the Lord wants you at victory, we want you at victory. All right? And today, are you taking care of the impurities that are floating to the top? The chaff. Get rid of it. We're going to have this invitation. This invitation is for you to respond to however God leads. Our Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for the day. Thank you just for the privilege, Lord, of looking into your word and learning from your word. Lord, so often these fiery trials do come our way and we don't even stop and realize what's going on. Lord, what's going on is you're revealing to us. You're revealing to us those impurities that need to be removed. Lord, we thank you for the trials and we pray for wisdom to cast that chaff out of our life.
And Lord, we'll do it by Your power and by Your strength. Lord, we love You. In Jesus' name, amen.